Yes, thank you for having us here this morning. Thank you for the beautiful worship music. Our first responsibility as a church is to worship God, and the second is to proclaim the gospel locally, like Tyler. Good job, Tyler. Don't see you right now, maybe you went out. And locally, nationally, and internationally, like the boxes and like us. And so we have a ministry that we've been working on in Spain. We are church planting. And we'll tell you a little bit about that. We first want to show a little bit of a video that shows the need and the darkness in Spain. As John Piper said, missions exist because worship doesn't, right? And so there is an absence of worship in Spain. There are people that don't know God, and so we want to share that with them. And so we want to show a video now that shows that need in Spain. Yes, so there is great darkness in Spain, but we believe that God will move. So we are working in a town of about 13,000 people. We is our family. We have three kids, Carla, Brian, Ceci. We have our family picture in the back so you can see it. And we're working in a town of about 13,000 people without a church. And so we are basically the church and the representation in our town. And we're starting up a group, so we're meeting in our homes. And So these are our teammates. I'll let Heidi tell you a little bit about them.
This is Cesar and Julia Palomino with their three children, Johan, Hannah, and Paulina. And what's exciting about them, excuse me, is that Cesar and Julia, they both come from non-believing backgrounds. They came to Spain about 10 years ago or so, both as unbelievers. The Lord met them there in Spain. They got saved, they met each other, fell in love, got married, and then they went back to Germany. Julia is originally from Germany, Cesar is originally from Colombia. So they went back to Germany together as a married couple and just felt God sending them to return to Spain as missionaries. So they have a very strong call for Spain, a lifetime calling to Spain, they feel. It's very exciting to know that they got saved out of fruit. Someone else's labor in Spain. Spain is very resistant to the gospel, but here we have two good examples of what God can do in Spain and is doing in Spain. So they are the couple that we get to work with, and we work very well together. They're very laid back. We're very laid back. So we have a nice little mix there going. And it's very exciting to think that we will be returning back with them very soon. So as you remember them, as you think of them, please pray for them. Christmas season is busy there as it is here, and we have some ideas of what we want to do to reach our town during the Christmas season, and without us there, the load is on them. So as you remember us and our team, please think of them as they are working just without us right now. I'm just wondering, can we turn these lights up, or can you see very well? Can you see that back there very well?
Okay, and I didn't actually tell a little bit about us. Heidi and I were both born in Paraguay. Our parents were missionaries and in Paraguay, and so our parents have done a lot of ministry in Paraguay, and that's where we met and got married, and then we got sent out from here, from Manitoba, as missionaries in Spain. So we're actually, our home base is Manitoba. Okay, so here we have a little bit of the ministry that we do. So we work together with our teammates and draw in other resources. The Bible school that where our teammates went to, that's not too far from us. So we get Bible seminary students to come and help us with street evangelism. We also draw from our kids' school, which is a missionary school. So they come and help us with street evangelism. And here we are out on the street speaking to any groups of generally youth. Youth are the most open to at least listening to the gospel. And we've had groups from anywhere from 10 to 25 youth just standing and listening 15, 20, 20 minutes to the gospel being shared very clearly. There on the right you have Jason, a teacher from the school, and he's speaking to the kids in English, and then there's a translator, and the kids are just standing there and listening. You can tell that they're attentive to the gospel message. And this is on the main street in our town. So that's one of the things that we do. Okay, you can turn to the next slide. Yeah. Another thing that we do is soccer tournaments. We've done, I think, three or four soccer tournaments, and basically we share the gospel a little bit with them at the beginning, before the tournament that we organize, and then the prizes have generally been a barbecue at our place or a snack together, and so then the first, second, and third place teams get to hear the gospel again, and we get to sit down with them and talk to them more on a personal basis. And so that's been a very good way to share the gospel. Okay. So we've had tournaments outside. The other one was the outside tournament. This is the indoor facilities. We've had a really good connection with the town council, and they have allowed us to do expositions in different places, and have generally provided even more than what we've asked for. At one point for one of our tournaments, we asked them for a ref, and they paid a ref to come and ref in our tournaments. And here you can see they allowed us to use their indoor facilities, and so they've been quite helpful in allowing us to share the gospel, also in BBS as well. So our main focus is sharing the gospel in our town and starting up a church, but we also want to see the church built up. We want to see leadership built up. We want to see the church strengthened so that they don't need us there anymore, so that they can be participating in missions. One of the big things that we're seeing now is fruit of missions work in South America, and South America is now sending out more and more missionaries. Like our teammate is Colombian. We've just taken on recently a family of Brazilians, and a family of Chileans is considering working with us on the field. And so there are more and more fruit of the ministry in Latin America that's joining us in the workforce now. So we're really happy about that. And so we want to build up Spanish leadership so they can be strong and send out missionaries as well in the future. And so these two on the left, Mati and Roxy, they are from a small church that's in a neighboring town beside us. And so they are the leaders in a young adults group, and we've been discipling them. I've been discipling Mati and Roxy in leadership, and Heidi's been counseling with Roxy. Roxy's been through a very difficult background, a lot of street challenges out on the street. So you can pray for them. They are a small group of about 17 people, been through some leadership difficulties, and they're still, even as a group of 17, they've decided to continue on, and we're excited about that. So please pray for Mati and Roxy and their responsibility in the church. Okay.
This is what we did a year ago, March, April, just around Easter time. We called it in Spanish Hora Feliz, and it's basically in the VBS outreach that we did as a team. Whenever we have something like that and that we are doing an outreach, we want to draw in other resources that we know of. So affiliated churches, the seminary that we are in contact with, other missionary families and friends that we have. So we kind of draw in a bit of a team there. And here again, we got all together and we had 2 days, a Friday evening and a Saturday evening, where we were able to do a VBS style in the main park plaza in our town. Now, in Spanish homes, because of the history that Spain has, as you saw in the video, where the government and the Catholic Church have worked very closely together in controlling people and kind of forcing religion on people, people today were still seeing the results of those hardships that people had. So today families are very, very suspicious with their children. It is very hard to come close to families. So we had our VBS thing in the main plaza in the town so that people who were there with their families, who were there with their children, could see what we were doing. And then we were trying to avoid, you know, this kind of barrier going up. And so we were trying to be as transparent as possible. And so I think that really worked in our favor to have the VBS in the main plaza. And again, there, the local RM, like we would say here in Canada, they granted us these tents that you can see. They gave us tables to use. And so, I mean, that may not sound like a big deal to us here in Canada, but in Spain, it's a very big deal to get permission, official permission from your local RM office to do something like this. So we were very, very thankful and praising God for the way that he provided a good relationship between our local government offices. Another thing that we do as a team to reach the ladies in our community is to have a ladies' tea for March 8th, which is International Women's Day. So we've had the ladies come to our house, and we just have tea. We have a short devotional where we present the gospel, because most of the ladies in this picture are not saved. They are ladies that my teammate and I have made friends with because we have children the same age, or we have a connection through a ceramic class or English class, which we also do. So this is an opportunity for us to bless the ladies in our community that we know. Domestic violence and abuse is actually very high and very common in Spain. So we have been told, we don't personally watch the news very often in Spain, but we have been told that almost every evening there are reports of domestic abuse happening in Spain. So one way that we want to battle that is by affirming and encouraging and loving on the ladies that we know in our town. So again, there's an opportunity that we take to bless. And I just want to point out the one lady that you see with this sort of thing on her head, this black, white thing. She got saved this past February, March with us. Her and her husband's Spanish, she's Colombian, really connected well with our teammates, who are Cesar and Julia. And just over these last couple of years, Julia especially has been just giving Elena, is her name, the opportunity to hear the gospel. And now this year, finally, she made the decision for Christ. And we were so excited. It was very, very exciting to hear and to know that God is working in her heart. So now they are studying together. They are doing a discipleship program together. Elena is on fire for the Lord, and we're very excited to see that. So, yes, continue praying for these ladies, and continue praying for our team as we try to look for ways to reach the people in our community. This is a family, David and Alejandra. Alejandra is originally from Colombia. Her husband is Spanish. They have recently joined our team in Spain, our field, not our sub-team, but our general Spain field team. They are Spaniards. They have been sent out from their local church in Spain. They are four people in their family, as you can see, and their church that has sent them out is roughly 40 people in their church. So they are 10% of their church congregation. And so pastors in Spain deal a lot with this. And it can be a challenge to really bless and release leaders because churches are so small. And so this family has committed themselves to serving in another community in Spain, church planting. So it's very, very exciting. As Marvin said before, part of what we do is raising up and releasing and developing Spanish leadership. That is one of our goals, is to see that happen so that missionaries can then move on to something else and believe that the locals and the nationals will rise up. So that is that family. If you will continue praying for them as well, that is greatly appreciated. And one last thing I want to talk about are these two events that are happening this next summer in June. June 10th through 17th is our See the Sun in Spain conference. And basically what this time does is it's a week of prayer. It's a week of intercession, a week of seeking God's face for Spain. Spain is a very resistant country to the gospel, and we know that nothing we do will go anywhere, it will go nowhere without prayer and without God on our side. So we take this time to pray, to intercede, and to also listen to local pastors and leadership about their experiences as pastors in small congregations, and also hear personal testimonies from people who oftentimes they're the only believers in their families. They are marginalized and they are rejected for being believers in their family. And so the church becomes their family. And so it's an opportunity for us to just listen and be an encouragement to the local people in those areas. The second event is July 12th. That is an internship for young adults, and it's an opportunity to serve in Spain and to get cross-cultural ministry experience and to see how we missionaries live in Spain. So these are two opportunities. If you have someone that you know, yourself, I see some young adults here who are interested in cross-cultural experience, then copy this information, these emails, and get in touch with these people to see how you can be a part of the work in Spain. So that is what we wanted to share this morning a little bit. If you wanted to have something more to say about this.
Nope, that was it. Right. Yeah, you can turn the PowerPoint off, and if we could have the lights back on, please. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Please turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 67. So that was our ministry. So we pray that you guys would keep us in mind. We are approximately about 77% supported. Our support has just gone up. We just received word last night of somebody joining our support team. We are still under-supported, but we're very, very close to being close enough to go out at this point. And so please pray that would be filled up enough that we would be able to go out. We are very, very close, so please keep us in mind. Heidi's going to read Psalm 67, and I'm going to share a little bit about what God has laid on my heart.
May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him.
Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that we get to be your children. Thank you that we get to worship you. I thank you that you have decided to work through us to share the gospel. And I pray, Father, that you would cleanse us. You know how broken we are without you. You know how much we need you. You know how much we need your cleansing and your work in our lives to be able to be your vessels, to be your salt and light locally, nationally, internationally, Father. So I pray that you would do that through us in an awesome way, beyond what we could even perceive and understand. Thank you. And I pray that you would bless this morning's message and that you would speak through me, even though at this point it's short, but I pray that it would be a significant message and speak clearly to us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I come from a Mennonite background, and I just want to tell you a little bit about Mennonite history because it has to do with the gospel message. Now, during the Reformation is basically when the Mennonites started up. During the Reformation movement, that was when Luther translated the Bible and people were able to actually read the Bible for the first time in their own language. That's actually why German exists. German exists because Luther, the German that we have today, is the German that we have because Luther translated the Bible. That made a standard German. There was lots of different dialects of German all over Germany. And so when the Mennonites started reading the word, they started understanding what it meant. They were challenged to be baptized as adults upon belief. And that was something revolutionary at that point. Because till that point, it was basically only child or infant baptism. And so to take a step of being baptized publicly meant that they were making a declaration that could threaten their lives. And many of them died, and many of them went through challenging experiences. There's one story of a couple. They knew that the authorities were coming to arrest them and the husband, and they knew that basically that was a death sentence. So the husband was trying to escape. Running away, he ran across a frozen river, and he was lighter, and he was able to make it across the river, and he was running away, and then he heard behind him his pursuer was heavier and had fallen through the ice. And he kept running at first, but then he felt, no, God wants me to go back. So he went back, he saved the guy, and then was taken into custody and was executed because of his faith. So, you know, stories like that of amazing faith that the Mennonites had initially, and then something happened through persecution. At some point, that excitement of the faith, at some point, I don't know exactly where, I've studied history quite a bit and I can't really tell, it seems to almost have been snuffed out until my grandfather's time. Here in Canada, like my grandparents moved from Holland to here to Manitoba, and at some point during my grandfather's youth, somebody came in, some evangelist, and shared the gospel message, and that light was reignited again. And just in an incredible way, my grandparents have gone out as missionaries, and my parents as well, and there is an evidence of the light of the gospel. And I'm so thankful for that, because Where would I be if that evangelist hadn't come in and shared the gospel? And so, but I want to share this with you because there's a concern, because if during the Reformation there could be so much excitement about God's word and about sharing the faith and about standing up for what one believes, and then for that to be put out somehow, even with the Bible, I'm just wondering what that would be. And I think there are hints of that in this passage that we have before us. So I want to read verse 1 and 2 again. It says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, that your saving power among all the nations." So, and this the passage, this chapter begins and ends in a similar way, but it says basically, God's blessing upon us is so that, verse 2 begins with that, and it is actually the that is translated correctly. So God's blessing is given to us that we can share the gospel. So what the blessings that God gives us are not meant to be contained. So I'm maybe somewhere in the past, because of persecution, they closed themselves off and they stopped putting out that blessing. They maybe stopped sharing the gospel, and maybe that's what happened. According to this passage, it's very clear that you can't contain God's blessing. God's blessing is meant to be given out, is meant to be sent on to others. And so my challenge for us today as a church is that we make sure that we are passing on God's blessing, sending it out locally, nationally, and internationally. I just want to look back a little bit in Genesis chapter 12 to kind of the root, to see that there's a bit of continuity to this thought, to this line of thought. So I want to read Genesis chapter 12. You can keep your finger in Psalm 67, because we'll go back there. So Genesis, this is well known, but maybe parts of it aren't. Genesis 12, 1-3. "Now the Lord said to Abraham, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed.'" There is that "so that" again. "So that you will be a blessing. I will bless you so that you will be a blessing." So it's meant already from the calling. We can see that there's an intention of God to bless his people so that they can be a blessing to others. Right? So there's a continuity to that thinking. And it is very intentionally to all the nations. And when we think of nations, traditionally we think of countries. But actually, when the Bible talks about nations, it talks about people groups, what we often call now people groups. So it's generally determined by language and a common language and a common culture that identifies you as one group. And so when it talks about all the nations or all the peoples, it refers to cultural groups. I just want to draw out one more thought. There's four purposes that God declares. We'll go back to Psalm 67. There's four purposes that God draws out for sharing his word with the nations. And the first one is that his word be known. In verse 2 it says, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all the nations. So his first purpose is that his word would be known. His second purpose is that he be praised. In verse 3 it says, "Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you." So the second purpose is that God be praised among the peoples. The third purpose is that God be enjoyed, as it says in verse 4. "Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth." So the third purpose is that he be enjoyed. That there is purpose in our life, that there is reason to live beyond just here and now, that there is a God that we can sing to, that we can that we can actually enjoy. And the fourth and final purpose is that people fear him, which is in verse 7. God says, God shall bless us, let all the ends of the earth fear him. So those are the four purposes: that God be known, that God be praised, that God be enjoyed, and that God be feared. So I want to challenge you today. I see that there are many ways that you guys are reaching out, so I think that is really great. I think that's a good sign of the health of a church, is how it is sending out God's blessing to the ends of the earth. So, yes. So I'm glad that we can share a little bit about what we've been doing and just be encouraged together as a church, and so that you guys can also see what is happening in Spain, because we know from previous experience that and present experience that we tend to live very much in where we are. And if our world gets that much bigger, if we can hear about what's going on in different places around the world. So we thank you very much for inviting us here, and we hope that through sharing our experience in Spain, you guys can remember us and pray for us, and pray for the church in Spain, that God's word would go out, that the light would shine there, that there would be people worshiping God there as well. So let's pray. Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you for your word. I thank you that you are light. I thank you that in your amazing way you have chosen to work through us, and we pray that the cross, the message of the cross, the message of salvation that you have chosen to bring through Jesus would shine, and that light would shine in different countries, in different nations, in different places, and even in Spain, dear Lord, where there are many challenges to reaching the people, to where there are still many that don't know you yet. And so, Father, I pray that you give us boldness as we go out and share your word there and share your hope, the hope of your salvation there. Thank you for this morning, and I pray your blessing upon this church. In Jesus' name, amen.